Don't call my phone cause I probably won't pick it up. Why you only call when your knees on? Yeah, I stay low key and I probably won't switch it up. Yeah, old girl calling cause I guess she couldn't get enough. Now she wanna talk about commitment. Told her that I'm focused on the vision. Told her that the music my addiction. Nah. Don't hit me up cause you know I'm in the zone. Ain't got time to be kicking on the phone. To be honest, yeah, I'm better off alone. I don't hear you talking. Getting cold like the winters in Wisconsin. Think I need a ship to just fly away. I could just be chilling up in outer space. Don't nobody feel me, ay, ay. Don't nobody feel me. Don't nobody feel me. You don't know the real me, ay, ay. Oh yeah. You don't know the real me. I ain't good with talking. Shawty hit me, you're like, do you want me? You're the only one I'm in Milwaukee. Keep talking about it all in the morning, yeah. You don't really feel me, yeah. Feel me, you don't really feel me. You don't know the real me, You don't know the real me, I'm hella nice, but I'm ruthless. If I don't know you, then you get the deuces. Everything I feel up in the music. Write it down, then I'm gon' produce it, ay. I don't like to be around fake people acting like a child, cause you can't be no. I just wanna vibe, you can play Smino, 99 a king, we know. No one really understand me. All y'all really care about is what's on IG. Post anything for a like and retweet. Y'all be showing every second of your lives this week. Nothing low-key these days. Feel like no one even know me these days. Alone, but never lonely these days. These days, I don't hear you talking. Getting cold like the winters in Wisconsin. Think I need a ship to just fly away. I could just be chilling up in outer space. Don't nobody feel me, ay, ay. Don't nobody feel me. Don't nobody feel me. You don't know the real me, ay, ay. Oh yeah. You don't know the real me. I ain't good with talking. Shawty hit me, you're like, do you want me? Told her only when I'm in Milwaukee. Keep talking about it all in the morning, yeah. You don't really feel me, You don't really feel me. You don't really feel me.
Fifth Element Hip Hop Show, and today I'm here with
your boy Alejandro Hernandez,
99 the producer,
Chad Hunt,
and they're here to talk about their new project, Studio 204.
Yes, sir.
So let's begin. How was it growing up in Milwaukee?
Growing up in Milwaukee, well, Milwaukee is like the most segregated place in the United States, that in Detroit. So just being there, it's like everybody is, you know, in their own little bubble type thing, you know, like African Americans stay on the north side, Hispanic, south side, east side for white people, you know what I'm saying? But just that, it's kind of weird, like thinking back, like in Milwaukee, like there's so many like things that I don't know, things I haven't seen, you know, just from being like raised on the north side, you know what I'm saying? So like, it's just crazy. It shouldn't be like that, but I've gotten involved with a lot of stuff that allowed me to meet cool people from everywhere, so. Mm.
Are you and Chad from like the same area?
I'm actually on the north side, but I mean, I was also around a lot. Mm. But yeah, me and Malik grew up, known each other since we was like toddlers.
So. Yeah, facts.
Yeah. So I know you two personally, and like often when we're talking about Milwaukee, you always bring up the fact that statistically Milwaukee is the number one worst place in America to raise a black family. How did you two like navigate through that?
Well, thankfully for me, I had a really great support system. My family, my dad, my mom, they all just taught me to be like a, you know, man of God, you know, just be a good person in general. You know, I wasn't caught up in those things that like typical people get like caught up with, you know what I'm saying? So like I just really had a great support system, great friends. They surrounded me with great people, and I, you know, it all panned out. So
likewise, just around great people. I was also fortunate enough to have great parents who were kind of raised us, you know, same way, just built with just instilled like great morals within us as young kids. And I mean, luckily all the bad things were, you know, around us. And as soon as we left the house, we were right there and merged with it. But our parents just taught us to be, you know, strong enough and be our own person, you know, our own man, so we can rise above that.
Yeah. Well, and then what was it like transitioning to the Chicago scene? You know, it's obviously much bigger city than Milwaukee, but there's a lot of similarities in terms of like the segregation. So like, what's like the similarities, differences, adjustments, learning curves?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I think it's a little different for me, just off the fact that I'm more so like downtown in the city. So I'm really, my everyday is changed completely from, you know, what it used to be back in Milwaukee. But it's a nice adjustment. It's a lot of things I don't have to worry about that I had to worry about in Milwaukee. So I mean, it's kind of cool. I can really just focus on me and the music and the dream.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like also like being here in Chicago, I feel like there's definitely a market, you know, for like what I want to do, you know, play the cello, make beats, all that stuff. In Milwaukee, like, you could do that, but not a lot of people have like came up in the city like that. So I just feel like, you know, being in the city of Chicago, you know, it's so big, like there's so many areas of people, you know, that's just like more people for me to reach potentially. So that's what I'm really excited for. You know, that's like a little bit of change from Wisconsin. So
So let's backtrack a little bit. So how did you two like link up together? Because your relationship seems built off brotherhood. So can you just like talk about how you two established that brotherhood and how eventually it got into the music?
Yeah. So I've known Chad, me, Chad, and this other guy named Jonathan McCoy, Jay the MC. We all grew up together. Like our parents knew each other before we were born.
Yeah.
So like when we all came, like it was just like, yeah, this is gang, you know what I'm saying? Like this is the group homies. So like, we used to go to church together, you know, stuff like that. Go, you know, just do a whole bunch of fun activities together. Yeah. And like that was my group. We started a band called Positive without the E. So like we was like singing about make a change, you know what I'm saying? Like we're gonna do great things, which is dope. You know what I'm saying? Like I play guitar, Chad sung,
sung. Yeah, I would play keys, saxophone.
And yeah.
Jonathan, he would sing and he would play keys sometimes, but he actually you Google him, man. He actually when he was young, he was like on a campaign and he toured all over the world, all over the states, doing speeches and things about that, like about positivity and trying to end the N word and all that thing. So it was kind of dope because you know, whenever he'd have something, he would try to bring us along. So he'd do a speech and then we'd be right there and we'd perform. So we got chances. Like we've been performing since middle school.
Today. Yeah, for sure.
Since like middle school?
Since middle school. Like I remember we performed at like one of the Boys and Girls Club like annual events as Positive, you know. Yeah. But yeah, it's just super dope, you know, just thinking back, like we've really been making music for years now. So
and it's kinda cool and I don't know. We took a break from each from like kind of making the music with Positive, and we kind of like went our own direction. Just got busy with life, in high school and all that. So we kind of strayed away. I mean, we still, you know, kept in contact and we still seen each other pretty often and everything. But you know, we stopped with the music, and then senior year, we did a gig together, and then like last February really, and then after that we.
We went crazy.
We went crazy. We got to working on the first EP. He brought me on. He just Trust My Ear.
Oh yeah.
And from there, man, we just been taking off.
Yeah. So like every rapper thinks they were cool, like in high school. So who were you two in high school? Like what role did y'all play?
What role did I play in high school?
Yeah,
I was a man in high school. I'm not gonna lie.
I was a man.
I was Winter Lou King. That's like the winter dance. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure my school didn't want to give me prom king. Like, you know, for the second year, like that was junior year. And like, I'm pretty sure Shout out to my man Cole. He got prom king. But like, I'm pretty sure they was like, you know, we're not gonna give it to Malik again, you know. But like, I was a man, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people knew I played cello. You know, I was like a, you know, talented person, I guess, or you know. So I think I was pretty cool. But
the cello got you the girls. That's man. Well, how were you in high school?
I mean, we went to a different high school, but I think it was kind of like the same thing for me. I was involved in a lot. I did theater, I did band, choir, I did a little basketball, but that's nothing. but I was just, you know, I knew a lot of people. I was cool with everybody. I think, you know, everybody was cool with me. I was.
Yeah, so I just wanted to ask, like, how y'all got into music, especially, like, it seems like y'all know how to play, like, different variety types of instruments. Yeah. You know, do y'all grow up in, like, very musical families, or?
No one in my family plays music. So I play the cello. I'm a music performance major here at DePaul. And I've been playing the cello for, like, about 12 years now. And, I was in this orchestra called MISO, Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra. And, like, at third grade, they was, like, sending letters out to, like, minority, like, based schools in Milwaukee. So my teacher was like, hey, there's this program called MISO Progressions Program. They teach kids how to play, like, classical instruments, and you should do it. I was like, okay. So I went there. I thought, like, I was going to play the bass guitar, but it was actually, a big bass. And they ran out of those spots, and so they just put me with the cellos. So ever since, I've just been playing the cello. And like I said, I'm the only one in my family that plays cello. And they've been so supportive, and it's just allowing me to do so many cool things. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's complete opposite with me, man. My on my dad's side of the family, man, everybody, just about all my aunts and uncles, cousins, everybody does music. Mm-hmm. Everybody plays and sings. So I had that growing up since birth.
Yeah.
Before me, so I kind of grew up in it. I started off on playing piano.
Mm-hmm. Had a piano in the house.
Yeah, you know, I always had a piano in the house. So I started playing around, I think I was 4 or 5 years old. Got to middle school, started playing saxophone. Got to high school. That's when I picked up bass, which is my primary instrument. I play bass. I go to Columbia College, Chicago, and I'm studying music there. My primary is bass. Just move around. Do a bunch of instruments and sing and everything, but it was always around me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, some of the songs you were playing earlier, like, that was you playing the cello in the song. So like, what's that like, just knowing that, like, you could play real instruments? Because that's not common in, like, music or in hip hop today, is live instruments.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's a very, like, old school thing. So like, what's that like as a young man trying to make the scene and doing that?
So like, I know, like, when people's like, when I tell people I make music, like, hey, check my SoundCloud out, like, they're like, okay, like, just another SoundCloud rapper but I think one thing that really makes my music stand out is that, you know, we play instruments on our stuff. Like, we record it by ourselves, we arrange it, you know, we plan it, we're doing all that stuff. So I really think, like, having, you know, just the knowledge of, like, music theory, you know, all that stuff really helps my music and our music, like, just sound better. So it's pretty cool, you know, just listening, like, oh, I did those strings, you know, Chad played the bass on that, just killing, just, it's just so fun. We're just really having fun when making music. So it's not just like 808s and, you know, hi-hats and stuff like that. Yeah. We got that, but we also got the more melodic stuff too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's embedded with each other too, so it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. So how did you kind of, like, make that transition from, like, the classical music to hip hop? Because I know, like, you told me before, like, your dad was, like, a big hip hop fan. Yeah. You know, he had you in the car listening to the Friday Night Lights, Blue and Exile, Below the Heavens, other classic albums. So how did you kind of make that transition from, like, classical music to, like, hip hop, trap soul music?
Yeah. So, like, yeah, like you said, my dad is, like, the biggest hip hop head. Like, he would pick me up to school playing Nas. I grew up on Lupe. Like, that's my favorite rapper of all time. Like, all time. J. Cole's my favorite rapper now, but J. Cole, the warm up, Friday Night, like all that stuff. So I grew up on that. But I knew, like, when I got to middle school, like, I was carrying this big cello around. Like, it was kind of lame. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, hey, I'm a black guy, I play the cello. Like, how can I make this cooler? Because I wasn't, like, a big fan of, you know, classical music. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what ways can I, like, make this instrument, you know, be more cool, you know what I'm saying? So I don't have to walk around, like, feeling all weird. Mm-hmm. So then I started making beats in, like, the fifth grade. Mm-hmm. So I was like, maybe if I can incorporate what I do on the cello with these beats, maybe, like, I'll be, it was kind of bad, but I was always thinking about like my image, you know, maybe I'll be more cool. But this is like 10-11 year old Malik talking, so like maybe I'll be more cool if I made beats and I did like string stuff on there. So I got GarageBand. I asked my mom and dad for a laptop for Christmas, and ever since then I've been making beats on GarageBand. And then when I got better at the cello, I started incorporating, you know, parts of the cello into my beats. And then like high school, I made like a cello music video, and it was super dope. We created a piece together, and we shot it, you know, at the school, used the whole auditorium. It was pretty cool. So yeah.
So what were some of those projects that your dad played that really resonated with you?
Lupe Fiasco, Food and Liquor. J. Cole, The Warm Up. He played a lot of Joe, like early Joe, like the singer Joe.
Yeah.
I love Joe. It's so many. Oh my goodness. Trying to think back. Blue in Exile, obviously. Nas, just all that stuff. He wasn't like a really big Pac or a Biggie guy, but that was always in rotation too. But yeah, a lot of Lupe, just a lot. Yeah.
So you know how you make auto-tune rap right now.
Yeah.
You don't like that. You don't like auto-tune. It's because of the negative connotation associated with it. But like, how does your pops feel? Because you know, he seems like a hip-hop head.
Yeah, old school.
Man. So this is what my dad... He try to act like he don't like it, but like at the end of the day, when he driving home from work, he gonna bump my stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he just be acting, but he likes it. He wishes that, like, a lot of my content is based around experiences that I happen to go through, like with females. So he just thinks that the content should, like, you know, reflect of like more that's going on in my life. You know, not just a girl who did me bogus. You know what I'm saying? But like, in terms of like, he really critiques like the beat the most. Like, that's the biggest part for him. Like, I used to, like, back in fifth grade when I was getting started, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, like, I would be like, Dad, can you listen to this beat? It's like, all right, you know what I'm saying? Okay, I'll listen to it. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. And like, looking back, like, I remember showing him some beats and he was like, oh, this is hot, son. I looked back like a few years, like, bro, this was a terrible beat. Like, why would you lie to me? You know what I'm saying? But like, he was like, no, I just like the melody. But, you know, he's always been that person. So I think he likes it. I know he likes it. You know, he's real supportive. He's real, like, the nonchalant kind of dad. Like, yeah, it's dope. Like, I sent him the EP. Yeah. Like, I was like, Dad, check it out. He's like, dope. You know, just a one word. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's so nonchalant. But I know he appreciates it. He likes it.
Yeah. And what are some of your, like, music influences now? Like, for your style of music that you make now, like, who are some of your influences? Because obviously, like, it doesn't sound like Nas.
Right.
You know, right. Lil Nexo.
Yeah, I say my biggest influence, his name is Eli Sostre. He's a singer rapper from Brooklyn, New York. And I got a chance to work with him on his this project that he's coming out with. And so I play some cello on some stuff for him. But definitely Eli. I love Nav. I'm not gonna lie. I know, like, he's, you know, not the best, you know, but I just like him because he makes his own beats as well. You know, so that's like a big thing for me. Travis, I love Sabrina Claudio, just like all melodic stuff. I love Black so much. So yeah, just to name a few.
Yeah,
people like that.
I liked Nav until I saw how he looked.
What?
Yeah, he real short.
He's like some chubby.
Yeah,
he's like some chubby
Indian guy.
Yeah, and he's short too. Like, I saw him in concert. Short.
Nav. I don't know however you pronounce it. He's I always like to say he's like the one rapper who I never ever have to worry about him stealing my girl.
Dang. But bro, I thought money make you pretty. You're not even worried with money.
Man, but no, I love to work with Nav, bro. Like,
he kind of he low key kind of looks like a discount DJ Khaled.
I'm
like,
dead.
Like a French Montana DJ Khaled.
Right. They had a baby. That's Nav. Yeah. Funny. But Nav's dope to me. He makes his own beats, and just like, I think they're fire. So he made Biebs in the Trap. He made a lot of stuff on his project, Nav. You know, a lot of stuff with Metro Boomin. He's just amazing to me. So
that's dope. Yeah, I never. Not too many people I know who really cape for Nav. So shout out Nav.
Yeah, shout out Nav.
Shout out
man.
Nav, man.
Yeah.
You know, shout out Nav. Is Drake an influence?
Oh, yeah. Definitely one of my biggest influences. Yeah, listen, I used to hate Drake, like, with a passion. Like, back in sixth grade, like, when, like, Take Care came out. I just listened to Take Care, like, Right. I just listened to Take Care like maybe a couple years ago, like, to be honest. Like, maybe not a couple, maybe like my sophomore year. Mm-hmm. Like, I really was like, wow, this is a great album. But like, back when he was like super popping, I'm like, ew. Cause like my dad at the time, he's like, mainstream music, ew. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, Drake's definitely the like a super big influence. Mm-hmm. I just think he has his generation by like his throat. You know what I'm saying? Like, anything he puts out is like amazing. And that's it. His team is really like the his like the best thing about him. Mm-hmm. You know, his producers, his engineers, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, that's real. Same thing. Like when I was like middle school, Drake first came popping, I couldn't stand him.
Right.
Then he dropped If You're Reading This.
Yes, that's exactly when
that's
I started
a classic. Everything sounds like that now. Everything.
That's true.
When he dropped that, I was like, that whole like run, that stretch of run, like late 2014, which is like around the time he dropped There Was 100, all the way to like late 2015 with the project with Future. I was like, okay, I can mess with Drake.
Yeah. Right.
But then he dropped like Views and Last Album.
I was like, nah, not with it. You like Views?
Nah. No, not with. No, I hate Views.
Views is trash.
What?
Bro.
Nah, Views is not trash.
Very average.
Yeah. Views is okay.
But lately, he's been dropping like the stuff he's been dropping so far this year has just been hit after hit. So I'm like back. I'm like, all right, Drake. All right. I'm looking forward to this. Make me a fan.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm very critical of Drake. I feel like, because he gets the GOAT title too often, too frequently, and I kind of feel like he's not the greatest rapper of all time. Like, we can't put him in that category, but we can put him in the category of greatest vocal performer of all time because he has songwriters, he has the best engineers, he has the best producers. All he does is perform the songs. He performs the songs that were given to him.
Mm.
So, like, yeah, ooh, that's my take on Drake.
That's a good, I like that
take. That's a good take.
Yeah.
Interesting.
His team really make him low key.
Yeah,
like,
his team makes him.
Yeah, I got that OVO sweatshop on Overdrive.
Yeah, for real. So they going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's how we trying to be.
Yeah. On my life, on my life. But let's backtrack a little. Let's go back to the cello.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about like where that instrument has taken you in life? Because I know it's taking you to places.
Yeah.
Like geographically. So talk about it.
Yeah. So like I said, I've been playing the cello for 12 years, starting in third grade with this program called MISO. So I had this teacher, Ravenna Helson. She was like another mom to me, basically. And I still have her as a teacher to this day. And she basically just introduced me to so many camps, programs, so stuff like that. So basically when I'm going through MISO, Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra, I'm meeting people. People are starting to like me, you know. I don't want to say this, but like, I was like the poster child, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, people just liked me. I was a nice, likable person, played the cello, and, you know, I'm good looking, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know about that.
I think you're not.
Hey, man, you gotta be your own biggest hype man.
Exactly, you know what I'm saying? But in 2015, MISO won an award for the Progressions Program, which is the program that I was in that brought like minority students to be able to play instruments. Mm-hmm. So they were awarded by the White House. So they were like, wow, we get to bring one person to the White House to meet Michelle Obama and to accept the award on behalf of MISO. So I got to be able to meet Michelle Obama. We went to the White House and I accepted the award from Michelle Obama on behalf of MISO in 2015. So that was super dope. I can't even, first of all, there's so many waves of like security in the White House. Like, it was ridiculous, but that was just an amazing experience. I toured in Europe with the orchestra. To Vienna and Budapest, and I was there for like 2 weeks. I went to Grammy camp. That was like a production camp, but I got that through like my activities in the cello. You know, I was able to say like, oh, I've been here. I've done this camp. I've met this person. You know, play for these people. You know, stuff like that. So all these opportunities allow me to, you know, just be, you know, in places. You know, in the world, I guess. So yeah, those are just a few things.
Mm. And Chad, I know you're involved in a lot of different things with like your cello. So, I mean, with your bass, you play the bass.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us about like where the bass has taken you in your career?
My career is my career is just starting off, man. I was fortunate enough back in high school, my senior year, my big band was able to perform and play with Tyranny Sutton, who's like an eight-time Grammy nominee. She's an amazing jazz singer, so I was able to work with her. This year, since I've been in college, I was able to work with Cassandra O'Neill, who was the music director for the late great Prince, for about 7 years. I got a chance just recently. I was working with Corey Henry, who's a Grammy winner, amazing pianist and keyboardist, organist, just great people, man. Those just, you know, three, to, you know, just to name a few, but it's really been taking off, man. I love Chicago. I love the fact that I'm here, and I just love, like, I love how everything is just like, I don't know, it's kind of, I feel like it's really, really, if you work hard and you really put in, you really put in all the time and energy, it's a great place to be and a great place to succeed and start to build your career.
Yeah, you guys have a wild resume in regards to, like, what you have accomplished musically. So, like, if this doesn't work out, which it will, which it will work out.
Right.
You can, you can, like, be in, like, a symphony or, like, orchestra.
Yeah, facts.
You know, you definitely... You definitely have success in your future.
Oh, thanks, Tony.
Thanks,
awesome. I noticed you don't swear in any of your songs.
No, I don't.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
All right, so I got a little sister, and she loves my music. Yeah. So it would kill me to, like, if she was, like, to hear me, like, swear in one of my songs. Because she knows it, like, word for word, you know what I'm saying? So I can't have my little sister hear me cuss. So, like, that's a no. Plus, like for instance, my mom, she just... So someone, one of Jonathan, our best friend, his mom texts my mom like, "Hey, have you heard Malik's new EP?" She's like, "No." Like, what? She's like, "Yeah, it's kind of popping." So my mom checks it out. I'm like, my mom, she's not like, she don't really check my music out like that. Mm-hmm. So if she were to hear me curse, like, it's raps, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I just try not to do it. Plus, you know, it's just, I like, you know, if they were to, like, want to play it in the car, like, if, you know, you're riding with your mom's like, "Hey, Malik just dropped a new song. Oh, play it." You know, then got to have that awkward, like, "Oh, Malik cuss?" Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so.
It's also like, on a creative tip, it makes us work harder.
That's very true.
Working on words, man, because it's so easy to just, like, "I don't know what to say here. Let F me throw word, in a cuss word.
B-word.
Right, yeah. Like, and we're all this. It's just so, like, it's, like, easy feelings to throw in. So it really make us,
that's very
makes
true.
Us work hard so we can really, really just get, cut everything out and just get to the point so they can understand what we're trying to say on the track.
Right.
Yeah. That's, like, reminds me of Will Smith back when he used to rap. Yeah. Like, "Yeah, my grandma listened to this, so I can't curse."
Right, right. No, that's facts. I'll be embarrassing.
Movies?
No, I'm just playing.
Any movies anytime soon? Hey, all but right. Let's talk about the recent project, yeah. Studio 204. So can you talk a little bit about the creative process?
Yeah. You want to take that?
All right, I'll go ahead. Studio 204, basically, is a 4-track EP. We made it all in my dorm room at DePaul. And, it's basically just, like, my experience through the past, 6 months in college, you know? So dealing with some females, you know, things didn't work out the way I wanted to, you know what I'm saying? So, And in the end, that taught me a lesson that I'm a savage. I'm just playing. But yeah, I mean, we made it in our dorm. Chad would come from Columbia, like, every weekend just so we could work on it. I made the beats. He would also help, like, co-produce on the beats as well. And we're just, like, working, you know, just, you know, making beats, making music. And at the end of the day, like, it's just, like, the biggest thing. Like, I ended the whole EP with a conversation. Like, it was just, we're in a dorm room. Like, it's just, like, that's, like, the basis of it. Like, it's a dorm. Like, it's at the end of the day, you know, we're just chilling, making music.
That's a good backstory.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of that. Because I've heard of stories of, like, rappers making, like, closet, basement, bedroom, but a dorm, a college dorm.
College dorm.
Did you guys ever get, like, complaints from neighbors, or did you get neighbors like, "Yo, there's a fire. What is this?" And, like, "Yo, this is me."
We didn't necessarily get complaints, but, like, it was good and bad at the same time, because, like, we'd be working on stuff and we'd be, like, just in a zone, whatever, writing, trying to keep the creative juice just flowing. And then, like, we'll hear a knock on the doors, like, "Yo, man, we heard the music," like just people coming in, like, and it's like, we love it, you know. We glad that people, like, you know, jamming with it and everything. But it's like, kind of just want to say, not now, like, just get out. Like, I don't want to go to the door just because, like, we just want to stay in that zone.
Yeah. Or when we're recording, my refrigerator makes a little buzz. So, like, the buzz lasts about, like, 3 minutes. So if I'm recording and, like, the buzz come on, I'm like, "Man, I can't record." You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just, like, things like that. Or, like, my roommate will come. I'm like, "Man, like, we gotta wait, you know what I'm saying, until he leave, you know?" So stuff like that, you know, was a little hard to work around, but at the end of the day, we got it. So
yeah,
took a lot of patience, most definitely. But, like, yeah, people in the dorm, like, my dorm is right next to the lounge, so they would definitely hear it. like the girls who be in the lounge, like, Malik, when you releasing it, like, you be hearing it, like, like, play lessons, you know what I'm saying? Like, so stuff like that, you know, it was cool.
Hey, man. Big man on campus.
I'm trying to be, but I'm extremely introverted, like, extremely.
Yeah,
it's really bad.
It's really annoying.
It's really bad. I probably seem like an extrovert right now, but like when I leave this room, I'm head down, like hoodie up, earphones in, like.
That's real.
I am such an introvert. Like, that's the thing. Like, with this project, Chad's like, bro, if you want to make it in this industry, you can't be like that. Which he's, you be telling me the same thing too. Like, I can't be like this. So I'm trying to be the man on campus, but it's kind of hard for me, like, being my introverted self to be like, hey, go listen to my EP.
It works out. I mean, it's annoying, but it also works out when it comes down to the music, because you holding everything in and everything back, and you know, so once you get to the music, it's like that confidence kicks in, and you're like, man, everything you need to say, everything you want to say, it's all in the music. So
yeah,
it's a win lose situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like a lot of rappers are introverted. Like, so I was at Saba's like release party or whatnot, and like after 20 minutes in, I text Malik. I was like, this N word act just like you. He was awkward. He was just,
oh, for real?
Yeah, he was very introverted.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can see it. I was like, it's possible.
But I mean, like, but I'm saying though, because like you hear his music,
yeah,
and isn't the complete opposite. So like he let it all go on the track. So it's.
Yeah, I guess it's just like good to have like those outlets, because I'm also very introverted, and I'm also trying to make it an industry where you have to be social, man. And that is terrifying for me.
Yeah, I feel you on so many levels, man. Like, you do not understand. Like, I really, if I don't have to talk to people, I would be okay with that. Like, I'm so cool. Like, I'm in the stew eating by myself. I love being alone. I like being just to myself. I love my time. So, like, definitely, like, having to, like, hey, go check this out, or, you know. It's weird, you know. Mm-hmm. So
it's weird though, but on social media, or at least on Twitter, at least I'm like 10 times cooler on Twitter than I am.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I'm pretty cool on Twitter, I think too. Like, hey, check this out. I just released the EP. Like, 23 retweets, 50 likes. You know, something like that. So yeah, it's really weird. But I gotta get more, you know, social.
Yeah, your social media is annoying, because like this dude is the most introverted dude, but like his social media pops. Yeah. And I consider myself to be social, and I'm like, man, I look at my likes, then I look at his, I'm like, man.
That is so true. So, I think it's because like
off here.
I think it's because like in high school, like, I'm that cool, just quiet guy. But I was kind of social in my high school. Like, people knew me, but like outside of high school, like, I was just that cool dude, you know, who likes to make music and makes pretty good music at that. So people are like, wow, I really want to check this kid out. You know, so like on social, they're like, wow, I really mess with him. But in like real life, I'm quiet. Like, I have a line on my track. The first line is, don't call my phone because I probably won't pick it up.
True.
That's the second line, or the first line on the second track. So just to show how introverted I am, it's called These Days. And that whole song is just basically about like, no one really feels me. Like, you know, this girl, like she said, she hit me up like, do you want me? I said, I'm on, like, only when I'm in Milwaukee. You know what I'm saying?
So, is that real or just? Oh,
Shorty hit me up like, do you want me? Told her only when I'm in Milwaukee. Like,
that's a real bar though.
That's a real bar.
Like, listen to the song These Days.
That's very Drake esque. Yeah. That sounds like something Drake would say. Like, only when I'm in the six.
Yeah.
Only my life. In the middle, man.
Right, only in the middle.
You actually text someone that, like, actually. Yeah. Only
only when I'm in Milwaukee.
That's pretty. You are a savage. Yeah, like, that's pretty savage text.
Thank you, bro.
Don't hype his head.
Before the EP drops, like, I'm at like, you know, 56% savage. Don't. You know, but like when it drops, I'm going to like 92. You know what I'm saying? Like, just give me a few more weeks. Mm. I'm be at 100% savage.
Yeah.
You gotta make that into a shirt.
Right.
100% savage.
Yeah, I kind of feel like heartbreaks are a little liberating.
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
In my life, yeah.
Mm. So, I don't know if you want to touch on like a specific heartbreak you went through that was liberating, but.
Yeah. I'm a Pisces. So, I blame this on my sign. Mm. So, I'm just like I feel a lot of stuff, you know. I'm really romantic, you know. So when I love someone or feel for someone, like, I feel hard for them until like they mess up. Mm-hmm. So, basically, Like the real, like I made this song called Used To. That was really the song that like was popping and like with like in my circle. Like it has like almost 18,000 plays. And like that was, that whole song was based about a situation about this girl who I felt so much for. And yeah, like just that whole experience of letting it out and like saying exactly what I wanted to say on it just like really helped me. And you know, like listening back like to it, it's like, oh wow, that's a super good song. Like I'm so glad. I'm not glad that I went through, well, I am glad that I went through the situation because I learned so many lessons through it. But like at the end of the day, I made a really good song that people were hitting me up like, wow, man, I'm so glad you made this. Like I really relate to this. Like, you know, I feel like, you know, there's so many people that's feeling the same thing. So I was really happy about that. But yeah, just so when I go through these situations and I write about it and I sing about it and someone's like, yo, I feel you, that's really like the most liberating experience for me, to be honest. So yeah, most definitely.
That was, I'm glad you said that, because like that was one of the main concepts behind the EP. We were just talking, like just having a convo in the dorm, and we was talking about Black, talking about this Free Black album. And we were talking about kind of how just like listening to the lyrics and everything, and it was kind of like liberating for him. And like we were understanding what he was going through, and we could relate. We had things we could relate to, and that was kind of like the mindset when we were coming from, like working on this EP, because we were just talking. I'm like, man, you gotta, you know, your pops is right. You're talking about girls a lot, man. We gotta put a nail in this coffin, man. Yeah. So this EP was like the goal behind it was to make something that would, one, help us, or, you know, help Malik just kind of get through this part of life and just be okay with it and be content, be himself, and, you know, move forward like to the next thing. And we hope, you know, everybody who listens to it feels every word, because that's, everything is so genuine.
Yeah, everything.
Everything is genuine.
Everything is genuine. Even the savage.
So, like, with a lot of the songs you make, like, regarding women, like, the parables, they're very, like, detailed. So, like, do the women in your life know it's about them, and how do they receive it at the same time?
All right, so when that song Used To, I told you, like I made back in high school, came out, she knew it was about her. She, like, they would play, it was so bad, they would play it at parties, and like she would be there, and she would just go, like, I was like, oh man, and but I was off.
don't feel sad. I mean, like, cause honestly, like that's the music, that's what we do. Anybody that wants to talk to you, mess with you, whatever, they just know that they should know that you're open book on your music.
Yeah, and like,
don't apologize. That, yeah, don't that? Apologize for that.
Bryson
at all.
Tiller's song, dang it, he has a song. It was from the first Trap Soul. I forgot what it was, but I remember he talked about like how like the girl would always like.
Oh,
he,
I know exactly what you're
like,
talking about.
He even says it in the lyrics.
Yeah,
like, I'm really blanking on the song name though.
Yeah, like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So that's a stipulation of like being in any sort of relationship with you, you're gonna end up in the song.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You might have to have
like a little contract.
Yeah, you might have a little contract.
We'll write about you if you do me wrong.
Right.
Or if you do them right.
Like, just right. Don't.
Yeah, that's very true.
Don't be surprised. It's basically what we, don't be surprised. Don't act surprised. I can't believe you. Believe it. It's,
yeah. But the funny thing is, like, after like some time went by, like, she would listen to the song just to, you know, just to enjoy it. So it's kind of weird. I don't know how she feels about it.
So the first EP was called Only 18, right?
Yeah, it was called Only 18.
And, like, a lot of the tracks on there were about a specific woman, right?
Yeah, a couple. A few.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
shout out Nas real quick, man. Papa was a play.
It's not even like that. That's just, he was talking about the Pisces. That's just how he holds on to feelings.
He gonna
feel something. You know, y'all could be not even talking, having talked for, you know, having, you know, X amount of days, months, whatever. He just gonna still feel it.
Yeah,
that's just who he is as a person. So not even like on no Playboy stuff, man. That's just how he is.
That's true.
So you continue to talk about women on this next EP. Also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they about the, like, same people?
No.
No.
One song is, but that's, like, that one song about the, like, the used to person, that's, like, my last and final, like, just letting it go. Like, because I feel like it's just time, you know, for me to move on. So there's one song on there, which is just, like, just letting it all out, you know, so. But everything else is based on someone else. But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you just have a plethora of women.
Yeah, man. You gotta, I have to quote my shout out my friend Bria Jones, if she's listening. She has a saying where she has a saying where it's like you got a Rolodex of crushes. Mm. It's just like I just got a new one every week.
I'm dead.
Yeah, Bria Jones not famous, so I'm gonna say that's my quote from now on.
No, oh, bro. Bro, she's gonna listen to this and she's gonna fight you.
Yo, fact check everything this man said.
Right, right.
No, fact check everything this man.
Come on, Bria. Okay, so like ultimately, like, what do you want to accomplish?
Ultimately,
like,
okay.
Yeah, what are your dreams, goals?
Mm-hmm. So to be honest, I don't really know if I want to, like, in the end be like a, you know, a singer rapper, you know, type thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I love producing. That's like my first love. Mm-hmm. So I'm cool just producing, you know, just being able to work on multiple people's projects, you know, like, let me fly 99 out here to do this. Let me do that. Like, let them play cello on this. Like, that's really my main goal, you know. So just be able to work on like different projects with different instruments with different people, like that's really the main goal, and being paid for that, that'd be amazing. So
dream collaborations,
Man, definitely I'm Drake. I think so, but yeah, I already accomplished one of my dream collaborations with Eli Sostre. But yeah, that's just playing cello for him, but I eventually wanted to like make beats for him. He was like, yeah, send me some beats too. So yeah, so I'm excited for that.
So what do you want to accomplish in like the music industry?
I wanna hit the music industry in every way possible, man. I don't necessarily see it as just trying to achieve one thing. And same thing for Malik, man. That's just kind of how we are. Mm. We move around a lot. You know, plays cello. He also produce, also rap, also sing. You know, we just move around a lot. So it's I definitely want success in every aspect of the things that I'm doing. But as long as, I mean, truly, man, as long as I can do what I love, what I'm passionate about, and I don't have to worry about anything, man, all my wants and needs are taken care for, I'm happy, I'm successful, man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So Ale always asks this question to every single guest we have on here. I'm gonna let him take it.
Is it the political?
Yeah,
very. This is interesting because y'all are from Milwaukee. I don't know how much you've explored Chicago yet, but this is we live in a binary in this city. Mm. Uncle Remus, Harold's Chicken.
I'm gonna keep it real. I haven't had either.
Whoa.
That's real.
I heard Harold's is overrated, though. Yeah. Shout out to Harold's, though. But I heard y'all overrated.
Shout out to this spot, but, like, y'all ain't with yo.
I live in the South Loop. I haven't had, what'd you say, Uncle
Uncle Remus? Remus is more South, West Side.
I haven't had that at all. I've had the Harold's. I've only had the one down in South Loop, and I've told that was not a real Harold, so I also can't even submit a vote to that.
Okay, so I guess so this is a justice question for y'all. What's, like, the spots in, like, Milwaukee?
Culver's.
Cops.
Bro, not Culver's.
Like, no, skip Culver's.
Bro, I
love Culver's, Tony.
I would die for Culver's, bro.
That's
Culver's.
Wendy's. That's
skip
like,
Culver's. Bro, what?
Dude,
no,
Culver's
disrespect
goes crazy.
Culver's like that, bro.
I don't eat Culver's, but I'm just saying,
dude,
like,
Culver's is so good.
Culver's smacks, bro.
It did not, man. It was
this
cops.
Is a cops, man.
It was cops. Every cops. That's what we did.
In Glendale, that's he that's, lives. He lives right next to cops. I live right next to Culver. So
is a place called Cops?
Yeah.
Like
Kops. Oh. It's a burger,
like a burger ice cream
and
place.
Custard joint, man.
Just like Culver's, but Culver's is 10 times better.
It's not. It's so, not.
I'm not eating that. Nothing endorsed by the police.
You say with a K.
Oh, it starts with a K.
K O P P S. It's not C O P S.
Well, if it sound like anything,
he's just not messing with 12 in general.
Yeah,
I feel it.
Nah, yeah, Culver's. Yeah, definitely the spot.
We tweaking my mom's spot, man.
Yeah, his mom. Man,
oh, she owns it.
Yeah,
No.
She doesn't own Cops. She has a bakery and restaurant.
Oh man, that's dope.
Mom, throw down.
Tree Spot Bernadette. Tree Spot Bernadette in Milwaukee.
Shout out Tree Spot Bernadette.
Yeah, shout out. Yeah,
his whole family just cooking all the time. Mm. Got a restaurant. Had a little Cutlass sweet store in the mall.
Yeah, we had a retail shop in at Mayfair Mall. It's one of the big malls out of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
That's probably why I'm so outgoing talking, because like I've been in customer services like sixth grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having to work there at the mall, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think one day you might go into the food industry as like an entrepreneur? you know, little Rick Ross.
Yeah. little side hustle.
Yeah. I do it like how Trump did it. Like I
ooh, I don't well, think everyone can say that. Like
no, no, no.
I don't think you can say Trump.
Let me finish.
Radio.
Let me finish.
That's a curse word around this.
Curse word. I'm sorry. I do it. How old boy did it and just own it and not necessarily be a part of any like day to day stuff. I just do it just to own it. Like yeah, I own that restaurant. I got money coming in from that. But like on a day to day, nah.
Why gotta use his name though?
Because he did it.
I'm sure there's other people.
Like, I mean, other people have done it. That's just who came about.
Like. I know, like you're saying that in reference to how he runs his businesses. Like
I'm
the
not
hotel.
Saying it, I'm not saying anything how he runs. But I'm just saying, but he own it. I'm just,
no, but like that's like not there that's kind. I feel like that's like his philosophy for this country.
Just like right on my
it's
life.
Just bro. Like I'm here.
Right.
Everybody else do stuff.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
So what's next?
What's next?
Yeah, what's next? You just dropped the EP.
Yeah.
What are the people saying? How are they receiving it?
They're loving it.
They've been going crazy.
Yeah, they've been going crazy. So usually like when you drop an EP, like the first song has the most plays and then it like trickles down, you know. But it's like all the songs like are like about at the same, you know, amount of plays. Like the third song has more plays than the first one, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's doing pretty well. What I really want to do is just perform it. You know, with a band, I love like live instruments. Mm-hmm. So when we gonna perform it, like definitely have a whole band type thing. But definitely getting it to like blogs in Chicago and Milwaukee, mm-hmm. just anywhere. You know, doing stuff like this. Thank you guys so much.
Definitely.
Yeah. So this is just amazing for us. You know, so like stuff like this. You know, just getting out there a little bit more.
Mm. So I know you dropped a cover that blew me away, like on V-Day.
Thanks, man.
This man is an amazing singer as well. Oh, like crazy good.
So what's next for you in like your solo career?
Me in solo career as Five. I am I'm in the process of recording a song. Actually worked on it. I produced it. Malik actually helped me produce it. This lovely lady right here, Kayla Simmons. She's actually gonna be on there singing. She actually wrote the song. She's an amazing songwriter. So that's gonna be recorded, finishing up that recording, so that'll be dropping pretty soon, so everybody can be on the lookout for that.
Mm. And I also heard you're going on tour this summer with Kids of Wisconsin.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Chad is, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be playing bass for them this summer. It's a pretty cool opportunity, man. They got us booked like legit whole summer, so pretty much no off days. But you know,
traveling just, all around, right?
Yeah, just all around the Midwest.
Yeah,
all around the Midwest states. So, but yeah, man, it's a great opportunity.
Mm. So plug your SoundClouds, all that.
All right, yeah, you can follow me on SoundCloud at 99 the producer, Instagram all the same, 99 the producer, Twitter 99 the producer.
Same, you can follow me on SoundCloud at 5, that's the number 5, IVEE. You can catch me right there, same thing, on Instagram and Twitter.
Mm. And Kayla, I also know you're a recording artist.
Okay, mine is K Mariam, KAEMARYAM on Twitter, and remember the name K on Instagram.
All right, this is the Fifth Element Hip Hop Show. We're here with 99 the producer, Chadwick Hutt. And I'm Tony.
And I'm Alejandro Hernandez.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.